Oh man. All right, guys. Well, if you didn't catch the memo, I'm dying.
We took a brief hiatus to recover from illnesses.
Yeah, I got sick, and then Sabrina got a little bit of a cold, and then clearly, as you can tell, I'm still on the tail end of this. So that's been fun.
Everybody, wear your fucking masks.
Literally. Yeah, guys, they're not ever going to mandate it again. I hope we all realize that. They're not going to make it a big thing again. But this is the second highest COVID surge in history. And, like, people are still dying from it. And, like, people are getting strokes.
And the new strain gives you a full body rash.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. Shingles?
I suppose so. Oh, that's what God. I read on the news. And especially if you travel,
yeah,
and you're in the airports or whatever, just do it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be sick.
No. Dude.
Sucks.
I didn't even have COVID, and whatever I got sick with was so brutal. I lied. I would wish it on my worst enemy. In fact, I hope all my enemies get this sickness. But I hope none of the people I like get this sickness, and that includes everybody who listens to this. Unless you are one of my enemies, then what are you doing here?
I personally want my enemies to fucking not prosper. I want you guys to fail.
Yeah, I want you all to fail. Possibly end up in jail.
Maybe die. Oh, wait.
Oh. That's a little inside joke. If you know, you know. Yeah, so welcome. What episode 6? Is this what episode we're on? Episode 6, guys. Welcome. Herb is next to you.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I am blessed.
Oh, Herb's like, what you doing?
I'm smoking.
What's going on here?
I'm smoking. Like, whoa, Herb.
Can I have some?
Your name's Herb.
Okay, let me pull up my story. Do you remember the hint? We planned to record this
like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and then
then illness struck the house of Raina.
Yep. Illness struck the house of Mean Bean.
The meanest. Never mind. Oh, we're Mexican, so we're allowed to say this. Yeah, I totally forgot Raina's clue because it's been a million years.
So we had the same clue.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Missing persons.
Yes. So we both did missing persons. So it's a twofer episode for you guys.
But we can confirm we did make sure that they were not the same missing persons.
No. And I mean, I don't know if we've ever... We've like had the same person, but that was like a murderer.
Yeah.
So...
And it was a one-off thing.
Yeah. I think it's a little harder to get the same missing person.
Exactly.
But today I'm going to be covering a woman by the name of Evelyn Hartley. And this story has layers. It is, as Shrek would call, an onion.
Her name sounds familiar. I'm excited.
All right. So on October 24th, 1953. Oh, I'm going to butcher this. Viggo Rasmussen.
Oh.
A professor at La Crosse State College hired Evelyn Hartley, the daughter of a fellow professor, to take care of his 20-month-old daughter.
Okay.
Why they always say months when it's below 2 years old is beyond me. I hate that people do that. But it was Viggo Rasmussen's 20-month-old daughter who needed a babysitter, so he hired Evelyn, who again was a fellow daughter of another professor. So Evelyn Hartley was a sophomore at Central High School. Her father, Richard Hartley, was a biology professor at La Crosse State College.
Okay.
And her mother, Ethel, was a housemaker.
Cute.
Good for her. So Evelyn typically called her parents to check in during her babysitting gigs. So she would normally get there, settle in, call them. Some time had passed that night without hearing from Evelyn. So Richard Hartley called the Rasmussen home, but received no answer. So he decided to go check it out, because he was like, that's suspicious. My daughter would normally call me, and if anything, at least pick up.
Right.
So he went to go check it out. When he arrived, the doors were locked, the lights and radio were on, but it didn't look like anyone else was in the house.
Hmm, that's sketchy.
So after a few minutes, he discovered an open basement window, and the window there was missing a screen, and the screen was found leaning against the outside wall.
Oh, no.
So someone had clearly removed the screen and set it down. He also found a short stepladder belonging to the Rasmussens, positioned at the open window.
Oh, no.
Pry marks were found on some windows, and footprints had been found in areas of the house. So he entered the house through the window. The child that Evelyn had been babysitting was found asleep, but unharmed.
Okay, that's good.
When searching the house, he saw that items were scattered all over the house. The living room furniture had been moved around to different places, as were Evelyn's school books. So it was very noticeable that there had been some rummaging going on.
A struggle, if you will.
Not even necessarily a I guess it could be a struggle. I assumed, I guess like the way I pictured it was that they were like looking through stuff.
Okay.
But it would make more sense that it might be a struggle. I don't know why I assumed that they must have just been like searching through the house.
Well, because I mean, if she was there, there probably was only so much searching they could do before she would hear.
That's true. That would make sense. So he found her shoes in different rooms. So one shoe was upstairs and one was downstairs, which would corroborate with the struggle. He also found his daughter's broken glasses upstairs. And he immediately called the police. And upon arriving, authorities searched the home. They discovered blood on the inside of one of her shoes. And blood was found both inside the house and in the yard, with bloody handprints about 100 feet away in the garage and in a nearby house.
Oh, man.
So, police believed someone took Evelyn through the yard, but dropped her on the ground before carrying her further. They used dogs to pick up her scent in a trail that led for 2 blocks, ending at Cullowhee Drive. And police thought that she was most likely put into a vehicle there and driven away. The police were told by one neighbor that they had seen a car repeatedly driving around the neighborhood. And another person who lived nearby claimed that they had heard screams an hour earlier.
But they didn't call the cops?
I guess not.
Bro.
Apparently it's nobody else's fucking problem.
Bro.
I'm gonna blow my nose. Brief intermission. Yeah, so they heard screams. The witness thought it was just children playing, which is maybe why they didn't call the cops, apparently.
I don't know, like bloody murder screaming and like children playing screaming. Although, kind of like different screams.
Dude, I don't know if you remember at my old apartment, those kids would scream bloody murder.
That's true.
Those kids would scream like they were getting hurt. Yeah. Like it was jarring to live there. It was very overstimulating. So I guess, I don't know. I don't remember screaming like that when I was a kid, but I guess I also got sense beaten to me as a kid, so I wasn't allowed to be hollering like that. So 2 days after the incident, Ed Hofer, a local resident, told police that while driving his vehicle, he was almost hit by a Buick that was speeding in a westerly direction. I like the way he said it, in a westerly direction.
Not just west.
No.
One of the westerlies.
So inside the vehicle, he says that he saw 2 men and a girl, and one man was driving and the other was in the back with the girl. He didn't think anything about it, apparently, thinking the threesome was just going to a game, like they must have been just some high school kids like going to do something or whatever. Several days later, various items of clothing, including underpants, a bra, shoes, jeans, and a jacket, many of which were stained with blood, were found in different areas.
Ugh. That's so creepy.
So blood found on the jacket matched Evelyn's blood type. A massive search commenced. Volunteers combed through the town on foot while the National Guard, Civic Air Patrol, and Air Force scanned the area from overhead. Boaters took to the waterways in hopes of uncovering clues. Numerous college and high school students joined the effort, and within the first few days, over 2,000 people were looking for Evelyn Hartley.
Wow, that's awesome.
Police asked squirrel and deer hunters to stay alert while out in the field, and farmers were told to explore their land for any freshly turned earth. In an effort to leave no stone unturned, even fresh graves were dug up to ensure Evelyn's body had not been buried in secret.
Whoa.
They
weren't fucking around.
No, they wanted to find this bitch, apparently. To take matters further, authorities announced that all cars would be checked in the area.
Damn.
So the goal was to have the backseat and trunk of every car in the county inspected for bloodstains or any other suspicious signs. 40,000 stickers were printed, each reading, "My car is okay." So, and it's like, this wasn't in a time like now where you could like print your own sticker.
Yeah.
And like just lie.
Right.
They had to go somewhere, basically like how we have to get our state inspection done here for our cars. They had to go somewhere and get their car inspected and get a pass that says that they were good to go. So they were trying real hard to find out where this girl went. Authorities would place a sticker on every car that had been checked and cleared. Police Chief George Long ordered all gas station attendants to report any suspicious vehicles.
Good for them.
As well as the license number of any driver that refused the mandatory search.
Wow.
So anybody who refused it, they had a list of those people's driver's license numbers and I'm pretty sure plate numbers.
See, why aren't we doing this anytime anybody is missing?
Isn't that such a great question? She was white.
Yeah.
Police officers were also instructed to immediately check any car with an OK sticker, just in case.
Nice.
Richard and Ethel Hartley made several public pleas for information. They addressed Evelyn's presumed abductor and begged for answers. And in May of 1954, mass lie detector tests were conducted on La Crosse area high school boys. I like where they went with this.
I do too.
In an attempt to find more information about her disappearance. So they decided to question and polygraph test every single high school boy.
Good for them.
Yeah. Authorities planned to test 1,700 students and faculty, but the testing was The testing was controversial and was halted after around 300 people were tested.
Why?
You know, I'm going to be quite honest and say that I suspect there was a boy who was maybe suspicious who had a dad who had some power.
Mm. That makes sense.
This is all speculation. That's just my sneaking suspicion. I have a feeling there was a high school boy that maybe, even if he didn't do it, he knew something about it or something. Or he was just doing something sketchy that he would get caught for in the process, even if it had nothing to do with her. So I have a feeling somebody's daddy
was like, "Hey, we need to stop."
Yeah. A short time later, the Hartleys received two phone calls in which a man offered to trade information about Evelyn for $500 cash.
Whoa, but police, it was a scam.
Yeah, police assisted the Hartleys in setting a trap for the caller. The snare was a success and resulted in the capture of a 20-year-old man named Jack Dufferin. And as it happened, Jack knew nothing about Evelyn. He was convicted and imprisoned for attempted extortion.
It's always a lie. They never know anything.
No, they just want money. After his arrest, murderer Ed Gein was considered a suspect. Murderer Ed Gein was considered a suspect in Evelyn's disappearance, since he was visiting a relative a few blocks away from the Rasmussen's neighborhood at the time.
Sketchy.
Yeah. However, police found no trace of Evelyn's remains during a search of his property. So Gein denied involvement in the disappearance and passed two lie detector tests, which we know now means nothing.
True, but like, what a coincidence if you were just like casually a block away from a serial killer.
Yeah, what a coincidence, and you go missing.
Yeah.
And just because they couldn't find any evidence of her body on his property, they think that he had nothing to do with it. As if he would just take him home. Yeah,
bad detecting.
Yeah. Gein denied involvement, passed Lew 2 lie detector tests. In November 1957, authorities announced that Gein had been cleared of any connection to the disappearances of Evelyn and another person named Georgia Weckler, who was an 8-year-old that disappeared in 1947.
Aww.
After being committed to a mental institution, Gein was later declared insane and died in 1984. Some people still consider him a suspect. I mean,
I wouldn't put it outside the realm of possibility.
A number of local businesses, organizations, and neighbors pooled their money to establish a reward fund for any tips that might lead to Evelyn's return. The fund soon swelled to $6,600.
That's a lot.
Hundreds of tips flooded the police station, and each tip was investigated and promptly dismissed. Nobody, it seemed, knew anything. A year after Evelyn's disappearance, Sheriff Robert Scullin estimated that his department had questioned approximately 1,200 people. Detective Captain Leo Kim, who superheaded the initial investigation, placed that number around 3,500. And despite their efforts, no new leads surfaced. The case eventually fell into the hands of, I don't know what AM stands for. I don't know why I didn't write it down. Amateur? I don't know. Oh, maybe that's his initials. A.M. Josephine.
I am Josephine.
A.M. Josephine. Josephson, sorry. A.M. Josephson. A criminal investigator from La Crosse County. Josephson would pursue the case for years, paying particular attention to two intriguing items found during the first few weeks of investigation. The first clue was a pair of tennis shoes discovered near off Highway 14, about 10 miles southeast of La Crosse, near Shelby, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The tread on the bottom of the shoes produced a distinct pattern if pressed into the sand, and a chunk of dirt had been found on the Rasmussen's living room floor that detectives believes matched the shoe tread. And the same pattern was also found in footprints outside of the Rasmussen's house. The second clue was a blood-stained denim jacket, which was recovered within 800 feet of the tennis shoes. So Josephson believed this was connected to the crime. And while inspecting the shoes, Josephson found yet another lead. So he determined that the soles exhibited a distinct wear pattern consistent with operating a Whizzer motorbike.
Whoa.
Over the next few months, Josephson pored over sales records and receipts and even tracked down past and present owners of Whizzer motorbikes, but never found any worthwhile suspects. So the jacket and shoes were put on display throughout the region with a plea for information from anyone who might recognize them. Again, calls and potential leads flooded the police station, and once again, nothing useful materialized. So in the end, the shoes and bloodstained jacket fell out of favor with most investigators, and they no longer considered them significant items. While the tennis shoes were a large size 11, the jacket was in fact a small size 36, leading many to conclude the two were unconnected. But I don't know, maybe they were just scrawny.
Well, the man who almost got run down by the Buick said it was two men.
Yeah.
So what if one is small man, one is big man?
Right, it was a two-person job. I don't know, though, because it also says that it shows that they probably picked up her body, dropped it, and then picked it up again.
Well, so clearly, it's like if it was two somebody people, was in... Well, but you said they met a car there, right?
Yeah.
So maybe one was the getaway driver who's, like, parked there waiting for them.
Ah.
So I'm betting small man in car, big man pick up girl.
Yes. Okay. See, maybe we should be detectives.
I mean, I think I'm a shoo-in.
I think we're solving this fucking case right now.
Right now, live. JK, you guys don't listen to this live.
As if.
You'd not want to.
No, you would not. So, he viewed the size discrepancy as proof that two suspects had taken Evelyn, like we just said. God, look at
God.
In the years to follow, numerous individuals came forward and confessed to the crime. All confessions were investigated and dismissed as false. In 1971, a 51-year-old transient named Tommy Thompson, fake name, was arrested in Casper, Wyoming for passing bad checks. And while in custody, he told police of a rape in Sling he had committed in 1953, naming Evelyn Hartley as his victim. Authorities checked Thompson's claims and found that he had been in a Minnesota prison at the time of Evelyn's disappearance. So, on October 22nd, 1978, 25 years after Evelyn's disappearance, the La Crosse Tribune ran a piece on Richard and Ethel Hartley, and in it, the Hartleys admitted to giving up hope of ever finding out what happened to their daughter.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Yeah. They further commented that they no longer cared to read about it. And Viggo Rasmussen, who her father, or no, not her father, the father of the baby,
yeah,
was also interviewed and claimed that he was haunted by visions of what may have happened in his home that night. And to this day, Evelyn's disappearance remains unsolved.
Like, I knew it was going to be unsolved, but I didn't want it to be unsolved.
I know. It sucks. And it's like, they had so much poured into trying to find her and yeah, nothing.
So much effort, which, like, great job.
Yeah.
That's some good trying to find a fucking person.
Yeah, that many people involved and, like, questioning that much. And, yeah, it makes me wonder if maybe her family was rich, though, too.
Well, probably. But you know what? Here's the thing that, like, pisses me off so much. I don't understand why people falsely confess to things that they didn't do. And if you're dying, make a deathbed confession.
Period.
Give people some peace. Yeah. Like, if you're going to die anyways and you won't be around to face the consequences, like, one, what a pussy.
Yeah.
Well, that I shouldn't say that. What a bitch.
Yeah.
And period. Two, just say it, you know? Give people some say peace. Say it with your chest.
Yeah, it's like you're already dying. It's not like they're going to convict you right then and there.
Right. Like, just admit what you've done.
Yeah.
And give the parents, loved ones, peace of mind.
Some closure, yeah. Because it's like, imagine going your whole life and just giving up hope of ever finding your child.
That's so terrifying, though tragic.
Anyway, so I don't know if there's anything out there for you guys to be able to give any information if you perhaps know anything about Evelyn Hartley. How crazy would that be?
Were any of you alive back then?
Go ask your grandmas and grandpas where they were on the night of, what is it? Hold on. I know it's 1953, but what's the night? Go ask your grandparents where they were on the night of October 24th, 1953.
And if they don't remember, that's suspicious.
That's super suspicious, and you should report it immediately.
You should wait till your grandparents are asleep and then whisper in their ear and, like, subliminal messaging. Like, I know what you did.
I know what you did.
I know what you did.
You want to tell me what you did so confess. Bad.
Confess.
You want to get it off your chest? You want to tell me what it is so bad? Just tell me. They wake up. They're like, what? And you're like, oh, my God, what? Oh,
what? My God, what?
Do you need to tell me something? What?
Terrorize old people.
Is that why you woke up? What?
What do you have to get off your chest, Grandma?
What do you need to tell me? Oh, in traumatizing your dad back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's in. Well, should we take a smoke break?
Yeah, let's take a little smoke break. I feel like I'm going loopy. I've been obsessed with calling people baby squirrel lately.
I love that.
Like,
what are some, like, of your ins and what are some of your outs? What are some of your hots, see, some of your nots?
In.
Just a lot of things are out.
Let's see. In. Staring mindlessly at the ceiling.
Love that.
Just lay on the floor and look up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out. Trying to please people.
Oh, period.
Just give up. Just do whatever you want.
It's never gonna work.
Yeah. In wearing your mask. Went there. Sorry about it. Out. Supporting companies that are literally funding a 100+ day genocide. That's super out.
Super fucked up.
Yeah, if you're still doing that, you're like super kind of grody. Let's see. In kissing your friends.
Hot.
But not if you're sick.
Not.
Yeah. Let's see. What are some ins and outs for you?
Ins, heart-shaped everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a certified period. Lover girl.
Period. And also a hater.
And also a hater.
Hater first, lover girl second.
Out. Let's see. Apologizing for your smoking habits.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
If I'm going to be a fucking stoner, I'm going to be a fucking stoner. Yeah.
If I'm smoking to numb, who cares?
If I have yellow teeth and a terrible smoker's cough, that is my business. Good sir. Exactly. In shopping from period. Local artists.
Period.
Out. Out.
Patchouli. Stop with yes. it, y'all.
Patchouli. Thank God. You. We smell a lot of that where we live.
Yeah, we do. And it's time. It's enough.
It's enough.
One dab is too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we should just stop.
Absolutely.
So.
In pole dancing.
Period.
Very into that right now. Out. Body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Let's get rid of that.
Let's get rid of it.
Let's end that in 2024. Where's the end of that epidemic?
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to end the body shaming epidemic?
When are we going to end everything, bro?
When are we just going to stop?
Can we stop? Have you ever looked around for a minute and just thought, wow, we should just stop for a hot yeah. sec?
Have you ever, like, looked around and just been like, you know, maybe our time has come.
I think that a lot, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was getting my nails done the other day.
Shout also, they're so Tony. Hot.
They're so beautiful. She fucking slays it every time. Shout out Pretty Tony. She's the love of my life. She restored my will to live.
Are they your real nails?
No, I wish. Mm. It's too cold for my real nails to prosper right now. Mm. We were discussing how we really believe it may be the end of times, y'all.
I believe that.
Everything is going to such shit.
We are entering the age of Aquarius.
Well, can we knock it off? In knocking it off.
Out capitalism.
Oh yeah, that's been out for a long time. Get with mm-hmm. the times, y'all. Capitalism is out. Well, I'm gonna hit this bong one more time. I kind of had a mini tolerance break.
Oh yeah, well you had sickness. To
yeah, it was really hard to smoke. Whatever I had, basically when I looked up the symptoms, it was the equivalent of like whooping cough, but mine didn't last very long, although I guess I still have the cough. But all my other symptoms didn't last very long, so I don't think it was I'm pretty sure it was a flu, because I also got really bad tummy issues.
Oh
yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was just a flu that was very similar to it. But y'all, it is nasty. Please wash your hands. Please wear your masks. Yeah,
wash your fucking hands.
Dude, everybody just stopped caring about hygiene. For 20
seconds at least, yeah. With warm water.
Everybody stopped caring about hygiene once the COVID scare ended. Also, look at the little goodie I got from her little goodie bag, her little goodie bucket.
Cute!
Right?
That.
It's so cute.
It's little gummy bears on a barrette.
It's super cute. I also got some drug chest strips, because if you're doing drugs, you should test them.
So true.
I'm not 67, but probably longer when this will come out. 67 days clean from cocaine, y'all.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We're making yeah. things happen.
We are so proud of Reyna.
I'm 200, I think, as of today. Let me check, actually. Let's see. Yeah, 67 days since cocaine usage, 196 days since opiates. So,
hell fucking
we're
yeah.
We're getting healthy this year.
We're getting healthy.
We're getting our shit together. We're gonna stop sabotaging.
Look,
out self-sabotage.
There are good drugs and there are bad drugs. Mm-hmm. And I think you know which ones the bad ones are.
Yeah.
And not bad, like, morally as a person.
No.
But bad for you. Do what you want.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
The people around you.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. Let's get real for a second on this freaking witch podcast, whatever. I didn't stop doing drugs because I necessarily wanted to stop doing drugs. I stopped doing drugs because I knew that if I didn't want to feel like absolute ass in 10 years, not even, maybe in 5 years, then I needed to stop.
Yeah.
So I stopped for future me. Present me is a little resentful. Not gonna lie, it has been a struggle. Sobriety is hard.
But you're fucking doing it.
But we're fucking doing it. And honestly, like, I feel great. And it's helped me weed out a lot of really shitty people that were surrounding my life that I don't need in my life anymore. If you think you have friends when you're an addict, they're not your friends. They're just an addict also.
And I will say, like, your feelings need to be felt.
Yeah. They do.
And if you're numbing it all, you're not feeling them. Mm-mm. And they will come back to bite you in the ass.
Yep. They will.
They will.
They will.
And I also just want to say, it's real cute because Raina has one black cat behind them sitting on the couch. And I have the other black cat behind me sitting on the couch.
Look at us. So cute.
Are you ready for... my story, my missing person.
I am. I'm gonna hit this while you get it.
Oh yeah, go for it. And also, just to remind y'all, I also haven't read this in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I haven't read my story in 2 weeks, so I'm surprised I got through it as smoothly as I did.
You got through it really smoothly. So you did, like, I think a pretty famous, like, missing girl. I am doing a pretty famous missing boy. Today, I'm going to be talking about Johnny Gosch. Johnny Gosch was a 12-year-old boy living with his mother and father, Noreen and John, in West Des Moines, Iowa, in 1982. On September 5th, 1982, Johnny left home with his dog to go deliver newspapers on his normal route. He's a little paper boy.
Oh.
At 7:45, his parents received an angry call from someone who had not yet received their paper.
Oh.
And they were like, well, that's weird. He left a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So John left the house to go search for his son, and Noreen called the police. John went to go search for his son, and Noreen called the police when John found the little red wagon that Johnny had been using full of newspapers.
Ugh.
Just, like, a couple blocks away from his house, abandoned.
A little red wagon.
Mm-hmm. So, they call the police, but the local police were unwilling to do anything before 72 hours had passed before they considered him missing.
I hate that rule.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of get it, because it's, like, you know, steamhead runaways and stuff who are, like, just angry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, a lot can happen in 72 hours.
Oh, for sure. And, like, Johnny was 12.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a little young to run away.
And in the middle of your paper route.
Right. And that's exactly what the police figured, was that he was a runaway. Especially because there was no ransom note.
Mm.
So when the 72 hours have passed and police finally start looking into Johnny's disappearance, they realize their mistake. There were a couple other paper boys and witnesses who confirmed that they saw Johnny speaking to a stocky man in a blue two-tone Ford Fairmont who had allegedly stopped, like some of the other boys, to ask for directions.
Oh.
It's believed that that man alerted someone else by, like, kind of tapping the lights while he was parked there, because witnesses saw another man kind of come out between a couple houses and start following Johnny. And then somebody else saw a silver car speeding through a stop sign in the neighborhood.
God, there's an awful lot of people seeing a lot of stuff what happened leading up to his disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's broad daylight, like, early in the morning.
For so many people to have witnessed so much sketchy stuff going on, and nobody said anything?
Well, police didn't ask for 72 hours.
I guess, yeah.
Police had few leads after waiting so long, so John and Noreen did everything they could to distribute flyers and posters. They made television appearances begging for information about their son.
Oh.
2 years later, another young boy named Eugene Martin also went missing while delivering papers only 12 miles from where Johnny was abducted.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Martin's family members worked at a local dairy and asked for permission to print the boys' faces on milk cartons to spread awareness.
Are these the milk carton boys?
They are. This is how some missing children on milk cartons started.
Oh my goodness. And it's famous.
Yeah, and it's just because Eugene Martin had family that worked at a local dairy.
Aw.
Mm-hmm. So eventually, as we know, this became a nationwide practice to search for missing children. Now you just look at the board at Walmart.
Walmart, yeah.
People started to call from across the U.S. with sightings of Johnny. One woman in Tulsa, Oklahoma, claimed to have seen a young boy yell at her, "Please, lady, help me. My name is John David Gosch," before being dragged away by two men in September of 1982.
Oh, my God! Full government name, and this bitch didn't do anything? And
anything. Isn't that terrifying?
Oh, my God. You can't trust people.
No. In July 1985, a woman received a dollar bill as change at a grocery store with the words, "I am alive," written on it with Johnny's signature.
Oh my God.
Multiple handwriting analysts confirmed its authenticity.
Jesus Christ.
Which, like, it sounds like he was trying very hard.
Like,
very hard.
Yeah, every opportunity he got to tell somebody his full legal name or to prove that he was still... Yeah.
Don't stop looking for me. Yeah. I'm here.
My God.
Also in 1985, a man wrote a letter to Noreen claiming to have been in a motorcycle gang who abducted Johnny to sell in a large child slave ring.
Oh my God.
He wanted money wired to him for information and Johnny's return. The FBI were skeptical and arrested him for wire fraud, but Noreen was convinced that he was telling the truth. So at some point... Noreen and John split up. John was kind of like, you know, how that other family was like, this is too much, you know, he's not coming back, we have to accept that. And Noreen would like stop at nothing. And John was always like a skeptic for all these tips and things because, you know, as we know, they usually don't pan out to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Noreen took like every single one very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they separated. In March of 1997, 15 years after Johnny went missing, Noreen claims she heard a knock at the door at 2:30 a.m. to find a 27-year-old man, two men, one of whom was a 27-year-old who claimed that he was Johnny. She said Johnny lifted up his shirt to show his birthmark to her and then came in and talked with her for about an hour. She said he kept looking to the other man for permission to speak, but he didn't reveal where he had been or where he was going. He said he had been sold into a child sex trafficking ring, would put both of them in danger if she reported this to police. Neither authorities nor John believed her, but in 2006, Noreen received an envelope of photos, which contained pictures of multiple boys tied up and gagged.
Oh my God.
Most of the boys ended up being from Florida and like they were playing a prank.
What the fuck?
However, there's one boy in a photo who is unidentified and Noreen is convinced that that is Johnny. No information is officially known about Johnny's whereabouts, but in 1984, Johnny's Law was passed, which made police have to investigate missing children immediately.
Good.
Yeah.
But don't they still say you have to wait like 24 hours or something?
I'm pretty sure that's for adults.
Oh, okay.
I think if it's children, like you have to.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah. For adults, I think you still need to wait 72 hours or something.
Yeah. There is.
They might have reduced it to 48.
I think it's 48.
Yeah.
There is a documentary. I'm not sure which streaming sites have it. But it's called Who Took Johnny? And it's about this case.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Came out in 2014.
Well, geez. What do you think happened? Let's put on our investigation caps.
Honestly, I am very certain that he probably was sold to a child sex trafficking ring. I am pretty convinced that that was Johnny who visited her.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, she's the mom. She's waited 15 years. You know, she's obviously going to be very excited by any prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if he were to, like, show his birthmark.
Yeah.
Like, she's his mother. Like, she gave birth to him. I think she would know if that was her son.
Yeah, I guess what throws me is, like, the prank photos.
Yeah.
Because if he was in them, why would he participate in that prank?
Well, I don't think that, like, he was a part of the prank, or, like, I don't know. It was a little confusing, to be honest.
The only thing I could think of is, if he didn't get sold for, like, sex trafficking stuff, that he got brought into, like, a gang or something.
I mean, definitely, it seems like some sort of, like, more organized group with, like, the signaling to the other person to start following him.
Yeah.
Like, that seems very coordinated.
I wonder if it's a cult.
Maybe.
Cult came and took him.
But, I mean, we know these things happen.
Yeah.
So,
but I think it's rare for them to happen and for the child to end up being granted access to their parent. You know, even if there was a person with them, I don't see how he could have convinced them or got them to be like, okay, fine, we'll take you to see your mom. You know?
Part of me thinks that after that many years, there's probably, like, an element of almost, like, Stockholm to it.
Yeah.
Which isn't a real thing, but, like, you know, there's so much conditioning.
Yeah.
And I think when it's situations like that and you kind of age out of it, because at that point he would have been, like, 27, right?
Yeah.
I think when you kind of start to age out of it, they, like, force you to participate in the roles of, like, getting more children.
That makes sense.
So it could be like we have incriminating evidence on you.
Yeah.
You can't actually do anything or go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, he couldn't tell his mother where he had been, where he was going. So maybe he was able to convince them, like, hey, let me just show her that I'm alive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, damn. Shit.
I know.
God.
So, I don't know. What do you think? Would you rather, like, give up hope or, like, maybe see something 15 years later, but it could be a hoax?
I'd rather see something 15 years later, because even if it is a hoax, let me believe what I believe in my mourning and grief and let it be.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I don't think I'd ever prefer to lose hope, because that just seems empty and sad. Well, geez Louise.
Those are some dark ones.
Milk carton boys.
Milk carton boys. And babysitter girls.
And babysitter girls.
There are only two genders.
Only two. Babysitter girls and milk carton boys. That's it.
That sounds like the start of a really cool, like, indie punk song.
Babysitter girls and milk carton boys.
By Fall Out Boy.
By Fall Out Boy. All right. Well, what do you say? You want to do a quick little tarot reading for everybody?
Yeah. Since we tried to last time, but it didn't work because our mics died. Saws.
Saws. Let me go grab them.
So do we have, like, a specific direction for this reading?
I think I want to pull a couple of cards for, let's say the month of February.
Okay.
Let's see what kind of things
we are coming up on that.
Yeah, coming to us in the month of February. The month of love.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check that out. And I'm just going to pull them since I can't really shuffle them while I'm holding the mic. I want to get us some new stands. I actually just want to get us a whole new setup, honestly, but maybe one day. Anyway, I don't know, guys. Should we start a Patreon?
Ooh.
Get some money to get some new equipment.
That'd be sick.
We'd have to come up with, like, special stuff for them, though.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm not taking my clothes off.
Oh, well. I mean, we wouldn't.
Maybe I will. Okay, I will.
I mean, if they're paying us, then, like, I'm not going to be mad about it. But, like, okay, let's see. Let's pull a card. First one that came up is the Empress.
Oh, yeah. Love that. We love her. And the Empress is about femininity, fertility, being creative, nurturing. It is like the mom card. Also signifies abundance. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, be thankful for all the stuff that we have and all the stuff that we're going to continue to build and grow for ourselves professionally and personally.
Period. In February. Enjoy the abundance of love in the
month. I am. Ow.
All right, next one pulled was Nine of Wands.
So the Nine of Wands is about resilience, courage, persistence.
Nice.
Boundaries.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. May come at a time when you feel battered and bruised, but it's asking you to trust your gut, test your grit. We're going to get through this. We're going to come out stronger on the other side.
Nice.
You have everything necessary.
Period.
To do it.
I think that's important to remember in the month of February, because I feel like there's two moods for the month of February. It's either you're really excited and you love Valentine's Day, or you're really dreading Valentine's Day and you hate it.
Yeah, and it's winter and you're depressed.
Yeah, so I think if you're one of those people who maybe is not an enjoyer of Valentine's Day, this card is telling you, enjoy it a little bit, cut yourself some slack. Be nice.
Keep pushing.
You got this. You'll be okay.
It's all gonna be gravy.
All right. Queen of Cups.
Ooh. We're so in tune with our emotions. The Queen of Cups is emotionally stable, intuitive, in touch.
Nice.
Caring, nurturing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You listen with your heart. You're highly intuitive and creative. We are in touch with the energies around us. So, this is a good card.
I personally really love that we've pulled two cards now that express creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have an art show on April 12th and I have pieces that I need to finish making within the month. So
hopefully February will bring you your wave of creativity that you need to do this.
Yeah.
And it will bring us all the like nurturing and taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of others.
Yeah.
Trust your intuition.
Period. Should we leave it there? Or should we pull two more? Should we make it even five?
Let's leave it there.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got a good like.
Yeah. We've got a good little spread here.
Yeah. That's a good one for the month of February.
Yeah, for the month of February, enjoy the abundance of love, the abundance of appreciation, the abundance of heart-shaped pink things.
Yes.
Appreciate where you are, but then also with the Nine of Wands, understand that however you're feeling right now, it's not going to be forever. You're going to make it through. You're resilient. It's going to be okay. If you hate this month, it's just one month.
If you were sick with the flu or COVID,
you'll get better.
You'll get better. I mean, we're not doctors, but
hopefully you'll get better.
Hopefully you'll get better.
And then finishing off with the Queen of Cups to just love.
It's also very like feminine spread.
We got this, guys. Mm-hmm. We're killing it. We're killing it. Out here.
Be in touch and serve cunt.
Be in feeling your emotions and being cunt.
Absolutely.
Out the patriarchy.
Period.
Boom. I think that's a good spot to leave it. And if you guys have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, anything like that, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. If you want to see our Instagram, get little snippets and tidbits and see the pictures of the beans and the tattoos and all the stuff that we talk about that's weird and crazy.
And the cats.
And the cats. You can check out our Instagram at GWCpod. GWC podcast. I was gonna get it. And as always, until next time, remember to light up
and look out.
Bye.
And
love
stay
you.
Well. Bye.
Yeah. Be healthy. Stay warm. Don't get sick. Bye.
I've got that dog in me.
Mine's been euthanized, I think. That dog in me has been put down.
That dog in you's been Old Yellered.
Oh, man.